Well, good morning. Okay, our scripture comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abana. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God during his section's turn of duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to offer incense. Now at that time of incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before Messiah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and make the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And may God add his understanding to this word.
This is a little reminiscent of how God worked with Abraham and Sarah, isn't it? We have an elderly couple, and God speaks to them and tells them that they are going to have a child. And this is, of course, John the Baptist, who fulfills the prophecy in Isaiah, one who goes before the Lord, saying, "Make straight the way of the Lord." God works in mysterious ways. There once was a Roman Catholic priest. He was on his way to Rome when he ran into an old childhood friend. "My goodness, Mary," he said, "how have you been?" "Oh, it could be better," she said. "My husband and I have been trying to have children for the last 15 years, but we are barren," much like the Elizabeth in here in our story this morning. "So we've been trying for 15 years. We've had no luck." "Oh, I'm so sorry," says the priest. "Well, it just so happens I'm on a pilgrimage to Rome. I'm leaving, and I promise I will light a candle for you in the great cathedral." Mary said, "Thank you so much, Father." And after chatting a little while longer, they parted ways. 5 years later, the priest is eating dinner, and there's a knock at his door. He opens it, and to his surprise, it's Mary. "I'm so glad I found you," she says. "Remember that candle you lit for me years ago? Well, my husband and I now have two sets of twins and a set of triplets, and I just found out I'm pregnant again with quadruplets." Then she hands the priest an all-expenses-paid ticket to Rome. He says, "Oh, Mary," says the priest, "your joy is my joy. You don't need to give me another gift. This is nothing. No. She says, "Oh, no, it's not a thank you," says Mary. "I want you to go over there and blow that darn candle out." Yeah. And any woman feel that, right? This morning we were talking about the joy of the Lord. And probably the most famous scripture that comes to our minds is, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Right. And so, but I would like to say it is not only our strength, it is our health. Now, just going through our scripture lesson this morning, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, by the way, is Mary's cousin, and so they are there related, and a little bit later in the chapter is the babies basically recognizing each other inside the womb. At any rate, Zechariah and Elizabeth couldn't have children. They were too old. They were in an impossible situation. Have you ever been in an impossible situation? Or at least by the world standards, an impossible situation? Because with God, all things are possible, right? I mean, that's scripture, so it has to be true. So do you have an impossible situation? Pray. That worked for Zechariah and Elizabeth. The second thing we noticed is that both Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were obedient to God. They were praying together. They were praying. And now remember in verse 6, we read these words. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. Now I know that describes everybody in here. So now all we have to do is pray. So that's the second thing. That's the second thing we learn in the story, that they're both obedient to God, praying together. Then the third thing I'd like you to notice with me is this. Zechariah is a priest, and he's in charge of the incense offering. He was chosen by lot for that day, and it's no coincidence, but things happen, right? So why was Zechariah chosen for that day? God knew ahead of time and sent his angel to speak to him. What is it about an incense offering? Incense is very, very expensive, and they simply burn it up. And it's God's way of saying, look, this is not a casual relationship. This is serious business. It's very serious. The incense is costly. This is a special occasion, so don't just flick it and forget it. I checked a few things out, and according to, if you go online to divinenarratives.org, these moments of ritual were interwoven with the daily lives of the Israelites. So you've got this very expensive perfume, incense, and it's a daily thing. So these rituals were interwoven with the daily lives, the everyday lives of the Israelites, so that burning of expensive incense was God's way of saying, my time with you is very special. My prayers with you, because that's when we have time with the Lord, when we speak with him, right? And the incense is a sign of our prayers going up to heaven. So the burning of the incense was God's way of saying, my time with you is very special. It's expensive. The incense was sanctifying the ordinary passage of time and transforming daily routines into acts of worship. Do you ever think about that? And here's something else we could think about. If that's true, then it must be true that where we spend our time determines what we worship. Now, if you have a cell phone like me, I often go back and I look at the end of the day and I say, where did I spend my time on my phone, you know, and hopefully you and I spend a good amount of time on good things. The Bible app and my notes app is always seems like number one. The second thing I want the thing I want to notice about the incense offering is also this: as the smoke is wafting towards heaven, it symbolizes the prayers of the people going up to God. Now let's talk about the angel. The angel appears to Zechariah on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, would anybody else be afraid if you were in an enclosed area and everything was copacetic, everything was fine, but then you go back and there's an angel? Would anybody else be a little startled? Okay. So we can understand Zechariah's emotions here. The scripture says the angel appeared on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was terrified. And we read these verses in verse 13, beginning there. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. What? And then he says this, Number one, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. This is John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. Number two, in verse 14, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Now again, this is John the Baptist, the one who has been foretold at least 700 years in the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, that one would come calling in the wilderness, and it described John the Baptist, and now being a godly family, they knew exactly to what he was speaking. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, he must never drink wine or strong drink. And get this. Did you catch this in the reading? Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't even have to come out of the womb. He's got the Holy Spirit right there. Now, of course, we have the Holy Spirit when we're born again and we accept the gifts of the Spirit, right? So when we're born again, we automatically have the Holy Spirit. Even before the birth, his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 16, this is what he will do, this John the Baptist. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And that's a good thing. Apparently it was needed. And not that it's needed today because we're a perfect people living in a perfect nation, right? No, he will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God with the spirit and power of Elijah. In other words, just like Elijah had a strong spirit, you've got Elijah and Elisha who had a double portion, but they're most noted for having the spirit of the Lord. Again, verse 17, with the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before the Messiah as prophesied and do these things for God's people. Number one, he will turn the hearts of parents to their children. Number two, he will turn the disobedient, in other words, those who are in sin and forgetting about God's laws, turn the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness. And he will do all of this to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, as the scripture says. I'd like to ask you a question this morning. How do you start your day? There are two ways you can start your day. I mean, there are lots of ways you can start your day. But how many of you, here are your two choices. Do you say, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning? Okay, so how many say, good morning, Lord? You can be honest, we're in church. Okay, how many say, good Lord, it's morning? Oh, come on now. Yeah, we didn't get a lot of participation on that one. Okay, but anyway, how do you start your day? Here we go. Let's talk about how to get joy for today. I think we all would like to, you know, we dream of days when the Browns win the Super Bowl and Ohio State wins the national championship and our kids are perfect, you know, and of course, all of those are things that we dream about, right? And we swear that that would give us joy. But God knows better. God knows what would truly give us joy. So I'm going to give you some things that would give us joy today. Number one, the definition of joy is it is a short elation or a burst of happiness that gives lasting satisfaction. In other words, it's a time that you can look back on and say, that was awesome. It gives you lasting satisfaction. Like when Ohio State won the national championship. Okay. Number two, we've already said this. The joy of the Lord makes you strong. The joy. So if you want to be stronger physically, emotionally, every part of your being, body, mind, and spirit, if you want to be stronger, then practice being joyful. And if you don't have the joy, then ask for it. The joy of the Lord is your strength, according to Nehemiah 8:10. And that has been scientifically proven, and we're going to share that in just a minute, too. Number three, the scripture also tells us in Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good what? Medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. In other words, if you need medicine, you know, it's good medicine. Joyful heart is good medicine. And then, of course, in Proverbs, it gives you the plus and the minus. So this is the way it reads in total. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit, which is what you don't have if you're not joyful, a crushed spirit dries up your bones. So how many of you would rather have the crushed up dry bones? Okay. And I mean, I know a lot of people that I think that's what they want because that's the way they act, right? They can see the negative side of everything. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Number four, Psalm 16:11. We are filled with joy when we are in the presence of God. How do we get in the presence of God? He's always there, right? He's always there. So we talk to him. We pray to him. So we are filled with joy in the presence of God. So get into his presence. Get alone with him. Turn off the cell phone, the TV, and all the other noise. And be filled with joy in God's presence. Seek him, and he will fill you with joy. Number five. Well, I just put this one on. I guess it shouldn't be number five. But I have a question. Are you spending time in God's presence, praising him and praying to him? Even secular psychiatrists know that that is a good thing. So are you spending time in God's presence, praying and praising, or are you shutting the door on God and instead giving God a long list of things that you want him to do today? God, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. I'm going to pray for these, and if you better do them. Some people complain to God. Other people praise God. In our Bible study this week, we talked about somebody named a woman from this church from years gone by. Her name was Hazel Kramer. Anybody remember? Let me see your hands. You know Hazel Kramer? Okay. Now, I heard something. Now, did she lose two husbands? She lost two husbands and she lost some children as well? Oh, she lost a child and two husbands. Okay. You know what they said in Bible study on Tuesday? So those of you who know her, Hazel Kramer, was she a joyful person? Was she the most joyful person you've ever met? If not, I mean, that's what the women were saying in Bible study. They said, whoa, this is fantastic. So this is point number seven. So in our midst, we have seen people who are very joyful, even losing two husbands and children. What could be worse? I mean, you're not supposed to watch your kids die, right? The parents are supposed to go first. We would much rather die than have our kids die. So, brothers and sisters, how do you start your day? How do you start your day? One more website. TherapeuticCounseling.org. TherapeuticCounseling.org. This is what they say. Thankfulness heals us. Thankfulness heals us emotionally, physically, spiritually. Thankfulness heals us. And here is the science behind it. They say these words. Research in psychology and neuroscience now says that we can change our lives for the better, pulling ourselves out of gloom and despair. Okay. They recommend that you keep a daily gratitude journal or thankfulness journal. So what are the things you're thankful for every day? Keep a journal and write them down. Put the date on there. What happened? How did God answer that? And this is what they say. They said thankfulness and gratitude impact our brains and our bodies in ways we never imagined. When we express gratitude and thankfulness to God, our brains release some really good drugs. Okay? When we express our gratitude and thankfulness, our brains release some really good drugs, dopamine and serotonin. These are neurotransmitters responsible for the feelings of pleasure and well-being. So these feel-good chemicals that come around when we do our part and thank God, these feel-good chemicals enhance our mood, reduce stress, and they reduce our anxiety. And what's more, what's more is thankfulness actually changes the structure of your brain. Did you know that? It's kind of like muscle memory. You know, if you keep doing push-ups, after a while, the muscles get, you know, they change shape. And, of course, I work out all the time, right? Down here, I'll suck it in. Okay. Thankfulness changes your brain. Gratitude rewires our brains and makes them more resilient. And this is how it happens. Thankfulness strengthens our neuro pathways that are responsible for positive thinking. So the more we thank God, the more ability, and we need to keep doing it and keep that pathway going, but the more we do that, the easier it's going to be for us to get to the feeling good and the elation and the positive mental attitude. And this is what they say, over time, your regular practice of gratitude and thankfulness leads to lasting changes in your brain structure, and it actually makes you more joyful. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Yeah. God has given us these amazing bodies, and He tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it just happens to be true. I mean, even scientifically, we've seen it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And not only that, it is your health. So have joy, my friends, my brothers and sisters. How do you start your day? It should always start with joy and thanksgiving and praise. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful examples in the Bible of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, who were too old to have children. They were at the end. But you did something impossible. And you can still do impossible things. And so we thank you for all that you can do for us. We thank you for the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we celebrate, when we sing your praises, we do feel your presence. And we thank you for that. All of these things are true, Lord. We have experienced them, and we thank you. And now the scientists are starting to understand and tell us the same thing. So thank you, Lord, for this day. Another chance to get things right and to grow with you. And all God's people said.